talk this morning about someone who is alive. And that is our Lord Jesus. He is very much alive. And we're going to talk about the power of faith. Faith is something that I think that we too easily forget to lean on, because we let fact get in the way. We let facts get in front of faith, or we let storms get in front of faith, and we forget that that's our greatest weapon as Christians, is our faith. Faith is fought over. There are wars created over different faiths. There are people that get in arguments over faith, and faith is such an important part of our lives as Christians that we need to really lean on it and rely on it. And the way we fuel our faith is, of course, is through spending time with God, through prayer, through reading, through meditation, through just, you know, talking to Him. You know, the Bible says, how can, you know, they hear a preacher be sent, you know, and then it goes on to say, how is, you know, their faith built? It's by hearing the Word. That's why it's important we hear the Word of God to build our faith. We hear a lot of the Word of the world, and that can build our faith as well in the wrong way. As we know, as I've said Wednesday night in here, we've read the end of the book, and we know how it ends for us as Christians. We know that we are the called of God. We know that we are His children. We know that no weapon formed against us is going to ever prosper. We know that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We know that we have been justified and declared righteous in His eyes. We know that we are forever born of Him. We know that we have a promise of eternal life. But we let things in this world pull us down so low and so bad that we forget to lean on the faith that we first believed in. Remember when you first got saved, you first got born again, you first gave your heart to the Lord, how excited you were, how strong you were. I could conquer any mountain. I could slay. Let that old devil point his beady eyes at me. I'll knock them horns off his head so fast. There's nothing like a scornful Christian woman. Let me just tell you that. Let's see what that devil. I mean, we had so much vigor, so much passion, so much belief that nothing could touch us because God had us. And then we journey through our lives, and guess what? Storms come. Sickness comes. Tragedy comes. Family issues arise. Money issues arise. And all of a sudden our eyes get pointed away from our faith and onto our storm. The Bible is filled with people who operate in faith, faith that brought deliverance. Hebrews 11 is a wonderful chapter talking about faith, of all the things that were done by faith. Enoch by faith was translated. You know, Moses by faith did this. David by faith did this. You know, it took faith to face those giants. It took faith to face those storms. It took faith to say, no matter what I see, no matter what I'm hearing from the enemy, my faith in God has got to be stronger than anything else. We are seeing all over the world now, not here in America yet, but we're seeing all over the world, other places, where Christians are being martyred again. I mean, really, publicly martyred again. It's not just in the hidden holes of a dark cavern in Afghanistan. It's becoming more prevalent now to where they're openly videoing Christians. Are you a Christian? Yep. Renounce your faith? Nope. You're dying. Boom. Gone. We're seeing that. Is our faith so strong that we're willing to die for it? Is our faith so strong we're willing to go to, you know, let somebody chop our head off for it? Or are we ones that'll say, well, let me think about this. Maybe this isn't the way, the truth, the life. Faith, you either have it or you don't. We get married by faith. We're supposed to, right? We get married by faith. But not one time in my time up to marrying Melanie, our engagement period, dating her, the wedding day, not one time to ever enter my mind, what if? It don't work out. I can always get the D word, a divorce. No, I married her for the long haul. She married me for the long haul. And though she pointed out very clearly the other day to somebody we was with that maybe my hairline's changed and my waistline's changed, she still loves me. It's for the long haul. Marriage is the long, goody-goody, see? Stacy will help you. She dropped her Bible and can't pick it up. She's falling and can't get up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We get married by faith. When you buy a house and you get that 30-year mortgage, that's faith, ain't it? Somebody's bought a house recently in here. D, yeah. And Sam. Sam's back there. 30-year mortgage, right? 30-year mortgage. You signed having faith that every month for 30 years, or maybe less if you're a good girl, can pay it off early. I got enough money to pay this house off. Because guess what? If all of a sudden the money's not there, guess what else isn't going to be there? D in that house. It'll be gone. It's faith. Our whole lives really are exercised by faith. But the most important faith we have is our faith in Christ and what He did for us. We have to believe, church. You know, I seen a joke on Facebook. It says something about, you know, I can't remember exactly how it was, but for the Christians, you know, if we're wrong, oh, well, or something, if you're an atheist, good luck. Or something like that. Anyway, the joke's not good, I can't remember it all. But the point was, it's good we believe in something. It's good we have faith in something. Faith in Christ. Something that's going to carry us out of this world into the next world. And 1 John talks about this love of God, but more importantly, I want to focus on what it talks about, the faith of God. Look at 1 John 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Look at that. Whoever believeth, this is more than just, you know, the word believe means to put one's spiritual well-being, trusting it unto God. In other words, putting all of our soul, all of our expected future in the hands of God. Do we do that? Do we believe Jesus is the only way and enough to take our soul from here into eternity? He says, everyone that believeth that is born of God. Born of God. Look at that. Born of God. That's a pretty powerful statement to say, I am begotten of God. I'm born of God because I have believed in Jesus and what He did for me. I placed all of my, because this preacher here, I'm telling you, I'm not going to depend on lighting candles to get me to heaven or my good deeds or good works or even my good looks. I'm not banking on any of that to get me to heaven. What I'm banking on, totally and wholly, is when that day comes, Lord, I placed my faith in You. I believe that You did what I could never do, that You erased the sins I can never eradicate, that You redeemed me from the curse that I can never redeem myself from, that You, Jesus, bore all of my sins and all of my shame forevermore, and the only way I can experience eternal life is giving my soul to You. God, I give You my soul. That's what really entrusting our whole spiritual well-being is about. Giving all of our soul to the purpose of Jesus and what He accomplished for us. We are born of God. Wow, that's beautiful. That's why we can call God, as the Bible one place says, Abba. Abba Father. You know what the word Abba? And some religious folks don't understand the real definition of this, get really particular about this, because, oh, you're not being holy, and I'm a lot holier than you, so ooh, you're making me, you're spazzing me out. The word Abba means daddy. That's what it means. Translates into daddy. And some people don't like that. Well, don't call him daddy. That's too impersonal. Look. Especially if you're a daughter, I guess, who's the most important man in your life? Most time. I mean, I know your husband is supposed to be, but far as, I mean, it's supposed to be. For some of y'all, it ain't, but it's supposed to be. Daddy. My daughter, Christian, is almost 21 years old. You know what she calls me? She doesn't say, Father, oh, Holy One, oh, Pastor Dad. She calls me Daddy. She texts me, hey, Daddy. Daddy. Isn't that sweet? Daddy. It's almost like Dada, just with an E. Daddy. It's awesome. You know why she calls me? I'm her only daddy. You know what? God's our only daddy. Our only father. The only one we're begotten of, truly, is Him. And with that kind of relationship, it means that what He has, He wants to give to me. And what He has is eternal life, redemption, forgiveness, mercy, grace, all of that. And He wants to give it to me. And when I come to Him and say, Father, I confess my sins, as Dee sung that song, I know I need a Savior. Will You be my Savior? He says, yes, Welcome into the fold, my son and my daughter. Welcome into the fold. You're now part of the one fold that's going to be part of the one kingdom in the end. We're part. Church, we're all part of one big family if we're in God. I don't care how we look, how we act, our mannerism. I don't care what our last name is, Yankee, Southern, Westerner, foreigner. It doesn't matter. If we are in Christ, we are one body. And the faith we place in Him is enough. At least I'm trusting it's enough that when I take my last breath, I'm in eternity. It's that simple. I'm in eternity. I trust You so much, God. I trust Your Word so much. I trust the cross so much. I trust what You did and who You are. When He went on that hill to transfigure Himself with His disciples, if you remember, He's on that hill. And, you know, a whole doctrine started out of this, to be honest. The Jesus-only doctrine started out of this. They didn't interpret it right. When they're on the mountain, and Jesus is there, and He appears, and then Moses and Elijah are with them. And then all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah is gone, and it's only Jesus standing there. You know what He's saying? I'm showing you I am the one. I am the King. I am the future. I am all that you need. I'm going to be the one to establish the kingdom. Through Me, all men shall be saved. That's what He was saying. He appeared as the only one needed for what they needed, and that was salvation. Salvation only comes through Jesus and what He accomplished at Calvary. Period. There's no other way. People can try to say it. They can try to twist it around. They can try to make other avenues. And we have preachers and ministries and other people just trying to. There's one way, one name, one source, one cross, one heel, one redemptive way. And that is our Lord Jesus, the King of glory, the one and only name of God whereby men can be saved. And that's who we believe in. That's who I believe in. And the power of my faith tells me this. See, church, here's the deal. My faith wouldn't be that important, really, if this was all we had. Would it? Let's be honest. Oh, I live. Yeah, of course we live for God because we love Him. Yeah. But you know what? Aren't we all looking forward to that glorious day? Isn't that really what it's about? The future God's promised us? You think Doc likes walking like he's 70 years old? No. Just playing, Doc. He wants to be restored. He wants to walk with no back pain, no hip pain. He wants to hear again, see again. He wants to be glorified body. He wants to look like he did in that picture when he's about 20 years old. Example, David Lee. He wants to look like that. We look for that future. Our faith is this. Lord, I place my faith in You. Because I want eternal life. I want to know, God, there's more beyond this for me. I don't want to go to a grave. I don't want to go to a place of torment. I don't want to be lost and out of Your presence ever, God. I want a future with You forever. And our faith carries us through. Look at verse 2. It says, By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And I like this part. And His commandments are not grievous. See, for a true Christian, for a true child of God, living for God should not be grievous. It should be a joy. Should it not? It shouldn't be burdensome. If you're doing this, you know, TJ's out on Saturday. He's like, oh man, I can't do that because I'm a Christian. God wouldn't like it. It's too hard, God, to carry this burden. I can't do this. You don't let me have no fun, God. What is up with that? No fun. That's not how we act as Christians. If we're truly saved, we serve God because we want to serve God. We love to serve God. We don't want to let God down, so to speak. We want to please our Father. And when we don't please Him, man, don't we feel that conviction? We feel that conviction and it eats us up because we know we didn't do what God called us to do. We didn't shine that light. We walked in darkness for a moment or a season or a night or a day or whatever. And we walked in that moment of darkness, and all of a sudden we realized, God, this isn't what you want for my life or for me. It's not grievous to live for God if you're really a Christian. It's not grievous. It's a joy to live for our Savior who stretched his hands on that tree for you and me and shed it all that we could have eternal life. He loved us. Him who knew no sin became sin that we could be the righteousness of God. That's how much he loved us. He loved me first. And here's the more. Here's what amazes me. Yeah, he loved me before I was even born. But here's what's more to me a miracle. He loved me after I was born. He loved me in all my foolish state. He loved me when I don't always serve him. He loved me when I don't always act right. I've said many times, thank God y'all ain't come to my door over the years and run the doorbell in a moment of our heated family discussions. Is this Pastor James? Yeah. You got kids? You understand. I mean, I'm just telling you. So, how God can still love me after I'm born, seeing my actions, my thoughts, all my the things I'm not perfect in. But yet he still loves me. And yet I'm still his. And yet I'm still saved. And yet I still have the promise and hope of eternal life because of him. Man, that's what our faith's about. Our faith, church, promises us immortality. Our faith in Christ. It promises us immortality. For those who have lost a limb as a child of God, that'll be restored. For those who can't walk anymore, that'll be restored. For those whose minds have grown dull, that'll be restored. For those who are weak in sight or weak in hearing, that'll all be restored again. For those who feel hopeless today and you don't even know why you're alive and you don't even like living sometimes and some days, understand this sorrow of the night is going to give way to a joy in the morning for us. It's going to pass. The darkness is going to give way to a greater light that we've not yet seen. The light of the promise of our faith that says we shall never die or taste death if we follow him. That is our promise. That's the power of our faith. Our faith's not just to do communion and sing worship songs and give our tithes and offerings. I mean, that's all earthly stuff. Our faith is really about carrying us to our destination. That's what it's really about. Carrying us across the Jordan. See, God gave Moses a promise. He says, I'm going to deliver the people of Israel. I've heard their cry. 400 years of slavery, building bricks, being misused and abused. I've heard their cry, and I'm going to use you, Moses, to bring them out. So he called Moses. Moses took them all the way to the bank of the Jordan, so to speak, literally. And then he died. Can you imagine the people? Okay, here's our great leader, Moses. You said to deliver us. Boy, God, could you have kept him alive a few more days? Because we almost made it. It's like when you get to a gas station, right, and you run out, like, you know, just right before you get there. You're like, I couldn't have went another mile. I mean, really? Okay, so Moses dead, this great prophet. He brought us out of all this stuff. We journeyed all these years. Are you kidding me, God? You let them croak before we get over? What do we do now? Ah, the sky's falling. Hysteria. Here comes another man to rise up, right? Because you can kill the messenger, but not the message. Joshua rises up. And God says, Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Why? Because the message that God said would happen had to happen. Interruptions may come, delays may come, but the fulfillment will always come because that's his word. So trust that. So Joshua rose up. He says, I was with Moses, I'll be with you. He says, every step you do, you know, I'll bless your steps, I'll do this, I'll prosper you in all of your ways, keep my commandments, da 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 da. So now Moses rises up, says, don't worry, y'all. I got this. Probably said in a high voice like that too, you know. Don't worry about this. I got this. We're still going over, but you don't need Moses. But he's the one. No, he's the one. See, there's no one. He is the one. We're all just the messengers. If I was gone tomorrow, the message would go on. Billy Graham's gone tomorrow, the message goes on. Whoever goes on, the message goes on. There are many great men and women of God through the years that have preached the gospel of Jesus that are been buried years and years and years. Body is done, is gone. But boy, the power of the gospel is still very alive. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit is still very here. And it's never going to depart until the kingdom is established. And so Joshua rose up, carried it across, carried that word, carried those people, and they did fulfill what God said they would. My point is this: the power of our faith will fulfill our destiny. The power of our faith. When I believed as a little boy, I got saved at 9 years old. A real experience. It wasn't just a little 9-year-old experience. It was a real, I knew what I was doing, felt God's presence. He changed my heart. From that moment on, I had the promise of eternal life. I've had some bumps in the road. I've had some interruptions in the road. And I've made a lot of mistakes and committed a lot of sins since I was 9 years old. But thank God, He has kept His promise to me that I have eternal life in my future waiting on me. Not because of anything I have done or could not do, but because of everything that He has done. Church, I want to tell you this. I want somebody to hear this because this has been so embedded in some of your minds through the years that you can't experience the true release of God's grace. Some of you are not going to agree with it. But you need to hear this. Because I know, church, when you know, see, I don't preach anything I don't know. If you know me, that's something I don't do. I don't try to get up here and preach something I don't know. That's why you don't hear me preaching about the seven-headed dragon in Revelations, because I don't know enough about that to try to teach you about it. All I know is it sounds scary, but I know we'll be okay. I'm pretty elementary on stuff like that. But I'll tell you this. I know just as much as good works cannot save you, your bad works cannot unsave you. Church, I know that. Because if it could, you're not under grace no more. How can we possibly think we make a mistake or we sin? And then God just says, oh, you're not saved no more. Okay, well then God, what do I have to do? Well, you got to repent. Okay, well, I did. Okay. Okay, now you're saved again. I mean, think about that. I mean, what if I'm backslapping my wife? In the middle of my backslap, I have a heart attack and die. It might be karma, but I ain't going to hell. I'm just getting to heaven a lot quicker. And she'll be saying, praise Jesus. I can get remarried to a good man. But we've been ingrained with that doctrine that somehow our mistakes either make us saved or not saved. It's not about, church, we're going to make mistakes every single day. The power message of God's grace is this: I place my faith that Jesus, you can keep me unto the end. Through my failures and through my mistakes, you hold me in your hands and you promise me that you won't leave me or forsake me. Not only when I'm good, but when I'm bad. Because I don't care what anybody says. Even my sweet grandma Minton can have a bad side. We all got bad sides. We all got bad sides. There's a big bad wolf in all of you. You don't see it on Sunday mornings most time. But there's a big bad wolf in all of you. As a pastor, believe me, I know more about the congregation probably than any of you know about the congregation. I hear stories. I do a lot of counseling. And there's people, you'd be like, oh my gosh, if you knew what was going on, really? That's going on? Mm-hmm. Yeah, girl, let me tell you. If you only knew. Well, they seem so holy and religious and Christian. Well, they ain't always Christian, believe me. I mean, I got to bleep out some words in the office sometime. I got to put a delay thing on that. I mean, really? Yeah. So I'm just saying, our salvation is not based on what we do. We're not the Savior. We're not the Lamb of God. We did not go behind the Holy of Holies and make the last final sacrifice. Jesus Christ did that, and the veil was rent because He did it, not us. Get us and our arrogance out of the way and give God all the glory for who He is. He is the reason I'm born again. Period. And the only reason that I'm born again is because of Jesus. That's the power of our faith. That faith carries us to eternity. I mean, some of you beat yourselves up, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be convicted. I'm not saying we shouldn't feel bad when we do stuff wrong. Yes, of course. But man, get that indoctrination, because some of us have been groomed in that our whole lives. Of that. That's why the song that we sung, the song, Lord, I Need You, I love the part that says, holiness is Christ in me. We've been taught holiness is how we dress. Or holiness is how our hair is. Or if I'm a guy, my hair's right here, man, you going to hell. Because I got long hair. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm going to hell because my hair's long or a woman's hair's short. Or a man's got an earring. Well, y'all got earrings, women? Does God say, okay, the women get in, the men don't? I mean, really? Where does that come from? That's all man-made garbage. God saves this, the heart, period. But we've let religion get in the way so much that we've cut people in this condemning box. Oh, my gosh. You know, church, we make mistakes. Some of you ain't been caught. That's the deal. They had a baby out of wedlock, and they're supposed to be a Christian. Yeah, but you know what? Christians make mistakes too. I mean, come on. By the grace of God, some of you didn't have a moment like that before you got married. You just got lucky. But boy, we judge that, don't we? They're supposed to be a Christian and did this, and they're supposed to be a Christian, they did that. Holiness has nothing to do with our outward appearance. Holiness has everything to do with Christ living in us, the Holy One. Now, yes, I absolutely believe where I live our lives with morality. Of course I do. I don't believe we should be going out if you're married and hopping with other women in bed and saying, oh, I'm under grace. I like this grace thing. See, Doc likes grace. I like his grace thing. I'll just sleep with her. God loves me. Yeah, God loves you. But buddy, that RV's gonna be gone from you, and you'll be homeless. Time Debbie finds out about it. I'm taking you to clinic for everything. You've lost it all. You ain't seen the grandkids, the kids, the RV, the dog. It's gone. Good luck. Go to Ohio and hitchhike. But holiness has nothing to do with any of that. And we've been engraved in that. And I run into still a lot of holiness people. Nothing wrong with it. That's what they believe. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, if we could understand that because church, you can paint a car as pretty as you want on the outside. But if it ain't got no engine on it, you ain't going nowhere. We can put a potato sack on us and no makeup and try to appear as meek and humble and pure in God's eyes as we want, but our heart can still be evil. I mean, I've seen some nasty, mean holiness people. I got holy people don't even speak to me. You can tell that they don't even smile. You ever seen them? They go around like a bulldog. Where's the love of Christ? Yeah, like Joe Brown. where's the love? I mean, because you got dressed to your feet don't mean that you're got a good heart. God save this. And it's that power of faith in Christ, not the power of faith in us, that carries us through. Once again, I want to reiterate, church, I believe we live for God. Yes, I don't say we go out and just live in sin. Of course not. That's foolishness. But it doesn't mean every sin unsaves us. Every mistake casts us into hell. If God, think about this. God saved me at 9 years old. God saw the future. He knew everything I would do wrong after I was 9 years old. He knew all the stuff I would look at I shouldn't look at, or hear I shouldn't hear, or be around I shouldn't be around. He knew that. But yet he saved me. So if he saved me and drew me by his Holy Spirit, I mean, he drew me so powerful that night. I was baptized. I came up at 9 years old with the baptism of the Holy Ghost upon me at 9 years old. Now, why would God do that and draw me into that moment and then say, oh, I didn't see that coming when you was 16 or 18 or 40 or last night. Oops. I'm going to unsave you now and unbaptize you and un-Holy Ghost you. That don't happen. He drew me knowing my future mistakes, but yet he drew me showing me I am his, church. We are his if we place our faith. That's the power of our faith. There's nothing stronger in our faith. Don't let people rob you of the faith God has given you. Don't let people steal that from you. We're going to mess up. Yes. Don't let the judgmental religious people put you back in hell and say, if you were a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. Who says that? What did Paul say in the Bible? I mean, to me, Paul was about as close to God as you can get. I mean, my God, Paul. How can you not honor Paul? And what did Paul say? There's always two wars I'm warring against, my flesh and my spirit. Always. What I want to do, I can't do. What I can't do, I want to do. There's always a battle. I don't care how long we live, how much you speak in tongues, how much you shout or roll on the floor, how much oil you throw in your head, you're going to always have temptation and a struggle with your flesh. Nobody's arrived at the point, I'm above sin. No, you're above flames if you don't repent. Because that's a big lie. Nobody's above sin. We all have that thing the devil knows is our weakness. Even Superman had weakness. Kryptonite. We all have our weakness. The power of our faith, though, carries us all the way across. Verse 4, look at this. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It's talking about the system that Satan has set up, his world. Whosoever is born of God overcometh that world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. What John is saying is, how do we overcome the world? What is it that overcometh the world? Look, our faith, even our faith. It's our faith that overcomes Satan's world. It's our faith in Christ that overcomes what the world has to offer and tries to drag us into. Because we know we follow the world's plan, what's going to happen to us. But we have our faith is strong enough that breaks the power of that control in our lives, and it breaks the power of that destiny in our lives. That destiny that we were all born into, that sin nature. And the only remedy to fix that sin nature is God's nature. Him that overcometh the world. What overcomes the world is our faith. Church, our faith is powerful. It's more than just the religious church stuff we do. Our faith's about carrying us to the end. Our faith's about crossing Jordan. Our faith should be so much that, I mean, we're putting all of our eggs in this one basket, Jesus Christ. Put it all there. And if it happens that I'm wrong, I'll die wrong. But I don't believe I'm wrong. Not according to this word of God. Because, see, I can feel my God. I can feel my Jesus. I can feel the expression of his love upon my flesh. I can feel his anointing and his power. I can feel him stir me up. I can feel him on my feet sometimes, my hands sometimes. I feel him in forms of chills. I feel him in forms of heat. I feel him in forms of weakness. I prayed for a guy one time, been about 5 years ago. He goes to a Catholic church, born, bred Catholic, still Catholic. And he knew me and says, James, says, I need some prayer. I'm having anxiety, panic attacks. I can't sleep at night. He just knew me personally. Says, will you pray for me? I said, yeah, come on to church. We met over here at the church. I put oil on his head, right at this altar, me and him by ourselves in here. It's about 5 years ago. Oil on his head, prayed for him. We got done. You know what he said? He was acting kind of weird, kind of funny. I'm like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I feel so weak all of a sudden. I feel so weak. I can't hardly stand up. I can't drive right now. Can I wait here? I can't even drive. I feel like every ounce of energy has been drained out of my body. I said, that was the Holy Spirit. He said, I've never felt that before. I've never felt anything like that before. Now, this is a guy that's a devout Catholic who believes in Jesus, who goes to Mass, but who had never had a personal experience or expression of God's power upon his flesh. God's alive, church. Now, this wasn't, it was me and him. There wasn't no drums beating. There wasn't no Hammond organ going. There wasn't no Pentecostal preacher slobbering. It's me and him in this room by ourselves one afternoon, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. No music's going. There's no, you know, there's no choir going. I mean, none of that's happening. Quiet in here, quiet as a mouse. I lay my hands, pray. Boom, God shows up. So what I'm saying that because I know some folks say, well, and church, I have to admit, I agree with you. I know there are times it has where it's been fabricated. Man's gotten in the way and drummed up this Holy Spirit and made it a show. I know that. I've been there. I've been where I've seen preachers call people up and say, take off running. Try to get the crowd stirred. I don't believe in that junk. I don't believe in that stuff, church. Holy Spirit shows up, it shows up on its own. Don't need my help. It just don't need it. And so, the reason I'm saying that is that I know here's a guy that had never been in that kind of environment. There was no charismatic movement going on in the building, but yet the Holy Spirit drained him standing right here. It wasn't like it was a show being pumped up. It wasn't like, okay, buddy, are you ready? On a count of three, I'm going to say, Holy Ghost, then slam you on the head. Are you ready? Give me a Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy. Jesus, go, Ghost. Wasn't none of that going on. Now, God can move that way, but he didn't move that way that day with me. I just laid hands and prayed for him, and the Holy Ghost showed up. The power of our faith carries us over. It carries us across. We had Chestnut Grove Choir here, if you remember, several years ago. And not last week, Georgia, several years ago. You were probably here. And, bless her. And they were here, and I'm standing up here. Y'all might remember this. They went to a song, and I started dancing. I've not done it but one time, I don't think, ever in this church, in front of people, I mean, while I started dancing. That wasn't me. The Holy Spirit hit me, and my feet started moving. It's kind of like, you know, my legs, what's happening? I mean, you know, Lieutenant Dan got legs. You know, where they at? Sorry. So it just happened. So I love those moments when God takes over, and I'm not discounting that. God moves, and God, we can dance, we can shout, all that. But when it comes down to it, it's the power of our faith that's going to carry us across. Because, church, I don't know about you, there are days I don't feel like shouting. There's days I don't even want people to even talk to me, try to encourage me. I'm in such a low place. I don't really want to hear it today. I think we all get there. I don't want to hear it today. So what do I have then? Because I sure don't feel the Holy Ghost at that moment. I got my faith. God, my faith's in you. You're not going to leave me. I don't feel you right now the way I want to, but I know you're still there. You're there, God. I may not can see you the way I want to see you. I may not feel the expression. I may not feel the chills, the warmth. I may not feel that, feeling I like feeling. But God, by faith, I know you're there. And it's the power of that faith that gives me confidence to keep serving, to keep worshiping, to keep praying, to keep standing, and to keep moving forward, knowing every step I take's a step closer to my Joshua moment and your Joshua moment, to where we leave the barren land of Egypt and we cross the promised land God has. We leave one side of the river and we cross the other side. We leave the dead and let them bury their dead, and we rise up and cross over. That's where our faith it's going to carry us. That's the power of our faith. There's power in our faith. It's more than just religious expression. It's an attitude. It's an inward confirmation that, yes, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see the face of my God one day. And what a happy day that'll be. happy, happy, glorious day. No doubt that when I leave this world, I might leave a lot of stuff behind that I would like to redone, did over, a do-over. But I know God still will carry me home. And I'm not going to be before God, church, with this long scroll of all the things I did wrong and weighing the balances. It's not like that. I know you're mine. Welcome home. Come in. He knew what I would do when he saved me, but yet he saved me. That right there should tell us everything. He saved you. If you're saved and God drew you to the altar, to the cross, drew you to his presence, why would he do that if you weren't supposed to be his forever? He begat you at salvation is what happened, church. Your salvation moment was your begotten moment. He begat you. I was begatten of God truly at 9 years old. Begatten of him forevermore, never not to be his. But boy, the devil so spews them lies and people put us down and condemn us and we live our whole lives in guilt and shame and frustration instead of living our lives in liberty and peace and joy, knowing who our Creator is. Because my Redeemer liveth, so do I. Because he rose, so will I. Remember what he said? He said he was the first fruits of them to resurrect. First fruits. If there's a first fruit, there's got to be a second fruit and a third fruit. That's us. We all fruits, ain't we? It's a matter of the pecking order we're in. God did that for us. Go to the next verse. We'll get you out here in just a minute. Give me just about 5 more minutes. Look, who is he that overcometh the world? Who is it that overcometh the world? He's saying, who is it? It's him that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, see, church, to us, that sounds pretty common because we were raised on that. There's a lot of people in different places of the world, especially, have a hard time wrapping their minds around that. Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin, perfect Lamb of God, carried our sins, buried 3 days later, ascended, and rose from the dead. We overcome by believing he's the Son of God. And this is the record that God hath given to us. Look what he's given us. Eternal life. And this life is his Son. God's given us eternal life. Now, if I've been saved and I could be unsaved, that's not very eternal. Is it? No matter what I do, I've used an example many times, the most perfect example I can think of to put sense into this. I am my parents' child, biological. My biological parents sit over there. I'm not adopted. Biologically, they're my parents. I can change my name, change my hair color, move to Australia, deny them. I'm not a Lewis, not a Minton, not a Baldwin, not a Billings. Don't know Dave and Diane. Don't know who you're talking about. My name is, I don't know, Sylvester Stallone. That's my name. And I'm married to Adrian. That's who I'm married to. And my favorite song is Eye of the Tiger. So that's who I'm married. That's my name. But you know what? I can change my name, change my hair color, deny my parents. Me denying that they're my parents, if they are my, does that mean they're not? No. They can do DNA testing. Yes, you came from the loins of that woman and from the seed of that man. That is your daddy and that is your mama. That's who you stuck with. You don't like it? Too bad, but they're yours. Here's what I'm trying to say. I can't run away far enough from the identity of who I am. I can't escape it. I can go to the moon in a rocket. I can't think of the name. A rocket. They can just boom me away. 10, 9, 8, 7, blast off. I'm up on the moon, thousands of miles away. And on top of the moon, plant the American flag. And I can look down that blue marble called Earth and say, well, I'm gone. They're not my parents. I'm 6,000, 8,000, 10,000, whatever miles, a lot more now I know, but whatever miles away. You know what? I'm still as much their son on the moon as I am on Earth. I'm as much their son in the grave as I am on the Earth. Dead or alive, I'm their son. We're God's child. We're begotten of him, church. I've messed up before. I've not been the perfect child, the perfect teen, the perfect son, and not the perfect son now. I mean, I feel bad now. I don't spend time with mom and dad at all now. I'm too busy. I know. That's a sign, ain't it? It's sad. You get busy raising your family, raising your kids, living your life, doing. It's not that I'm selfish. I just, my days are just filled, and they understand that. But a good son would make time to go see his parents. If I didn't live so far away, I would. I mean, it really is an issue. I live 1.8 miles away. But anyway, I should go and just spend time, not talk church, not talk business, just spend time talking to mom and dad. But I don't do much of that. So but you know what? They don't discount me. I don't think dads ever once, they may have complained about it, you know, whatever, but they never once said, well, he ain't my son no more, Diane. He's your son. He ain't come talk to me. He ain't my son. They ain't never said that. I'm their son. So you think when we mess up, God says, Stacy ain't mine. She ain't mine no more. Good Lord. Talk to hand, Stacy. I'm God. Talk to hand. Really? No. Here's what he's saying, poor Stacy. See, I believe God's Southern. God say something like this: bless her heart. Bless her pitiful, sinful, weak heart. Bless it. I love her. She's just so messing her life. Don't she see? Bless it. I'm going to have her one day in heaven, but man, she could be a lot happier on earth if she just listened to me. Just bless her little heart. That's what God would say. He probably is. Doesn't mean Stacy's not saved. Stacy's not God's child. Stacy's not going to see heaven. See? Even the kids understand that. Is that Skylar back there? Go to the next verse. We'll get out of here. Look, he that hath the Son, talking about Jesus, I want to make that clear. He that, not the Son of the sky. He that hath the Son, Jesus, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's pretty clear. You want eternal life? Jesus. You don't want eternal life? No, Jesus. One for yes, two for no. I want Jesus. I don't want Jesus. Life, not life. Eternal life, death. That's your choice. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life by believing on that name of the Son of God. You have eternal life. That means life that doesn't end. Graveyard don't end our life. Nicholson Funeral Home don't end our life. A preacher's words don't end a life. An obituary in a paper doesn't end a life. Roses on a grave don't end a life. If you're in Christ, it goes on and on and on and on. We don't ever have an unconscious time away from God if we're Christians. I believe that completely. There's no unconscious moment. I don't believe there's no soul sleep. I don't believe there's a period I don't know what's going on. I'm just in la-la land. I believe that we have eternal connecting life with our Creator and with our Father. That there's no break in time, no separation of our consciousness of time. That we immediately are in this world and immediately are in His world. It's a seamless transition. That's what I believe. I think Enoch showed us that way back in the old days. Enoch walking along, right? Hey, gee, what's that in the sky coming? It's heading its way, Enoch. That's my ride. Watch this. Gone. They went to try to find him. Remember, he said, you ain't going to find him? But that was actually Elijah. You ain't going to find him. They said, you ain't going to go find him. They went and searched for days. Come back. You're right. Couldn't find him. He ain't here. He's in another place you can't get to and can't see. There was no separation for Enoch, and he was under the law. I mean, there was no separation. Enoch didn't just go to some, you know, graveyard and lie dead. He went, and he was in a whole different realm than what we were in. No separation. I believe that. Power of your faith. Have that power. Have power of your faith and lean on it and rely on it, because the days are coming. Church, we're in a season of darkness like never before, and a time of unbelief like never before, and a time of changing tides like never before. The world is shifting. It's shifting far left completely in every area. We better know who we believe in. And our faith needs to be solid and strong in the one that saved us. Because we're going to need that faith to carry us through the tribulations that I believe we're already in. Church, people are waiting for this great moment and this great... I want to tell you something. I mean, I'm not trying to sound puny or whiny. I'm really not. But, I mean, I'm being tribulated now. Are y'all? I mean, is there not some tribulation in your life going on? Maybe not in your personal life, but in the world around you. You can see what's happening. Tribulation and uprising and explosions of violence, explosions of hate, explosions of immorality, just rising up and rising up, and we're placing our faith in the economy. Or, church, I don't care who the next president is. It just don't matter, really. God is who we should be serving. God is who we should be counting on. It don't matter who's in the White House. It just matters who's on the throne. And I serve God. And we're going to come to a time where we're going to have to make some decisions on some things, even in the church. Do I stand for God and what I believe by the Bible, or am I going to be forced into what man says I have to do? Which way? That's coming. It's coming to the church. It's coming to Christians. It's coming everywhere. Our faith better have more than just Sunday motion. There better be some real grip to it. I was actually thinking about this the other day. It came to me that I hate to think this. With all the executions we've been seeing among Christians, I thought about this. What if they came in and lined my family up? And they said, we're going to kill your wife if you don't denounce Jesus. I actually thought about it the other day. I was over here. I got thinking about that. Because that's what's happening in the places. My wife, who I love. A man's got a gun on her. Say, if you don't, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Well, if you don't convert out of that or disown that or believe in whatever, whether it's Islam or whatever, the religion, I'm going to shoot your wife. What would I do in that moment? I would hope I would stand for God. But man, I sure love that woman, and I'm too much into this to break another woman in at this point in my life. I got her broke in the way I want her. I don't want to start all over again. She's just the way I molded her. I couldn't mold somebody my age, and now you can't teach old dog new tricks, right? What would I do, though? I got thinking about that. What if it was my daughter, my son? They're sitting there, and they got a sword in their head. There's Ashley. I'm not trying to invoke fear. I'm just trying to say, church, we're in some changing times. I mean, we are seeing Americans recruited like never before into the ISIS army. They're arresting people all over the country now. They're catching people all over the country that are trying to sign up with them. You know one thing ISIS has that a lot of Christians don't have? They're united. And they know what they stand for. We better know what we stand for. Let's get away from the patty cake. Well, you don't believe like that, and you don't believe like that, and you don't do this, and you dress like... Look, if we're God's people, my God, we're God's people. We need to be united and let the world know Jesus is king. He's my king. Is he your king? But I was thinking that, what would I do in that moment? I would hope to God I would have the faith in God and put him first and say, Lord, I'm trusting you with this. And yeah, if it happened, I'd want to go on too. I'd just say, look, here. I mean, I don't want to live without her and my family here. But we're seeing it happen more and more often. We're seeing an anti-Christ movement in our nation. We're seeing less tolerance for us Christian folks. We're in the dark ages. They are making accommodations for people of every other religion and belief except us. What does that tell you? There's power in our faith. Let's stand for that and be strong for that. Stand in that power of your faith. It's going to carry us over. When those days get dark, remember your future. When the storm is so bad, remember your future. This is all temporary. It will yield to a greater reward. And I know life is hard. Challenges are many. there's a lot of things don't make sense in our lives. We're so confused. We're so misdirected. We're so misguided sometimes. We don't know what to believe anymore. Believe in Jesus and just trust him. Y'all come to an offering song, Chuck. You and Jill have something to close that with, offering song. That's my message this morning. The power of our faith. Is it a word we just use on Sunday, or is it a life that we live every day? Power of faith. Ushers, come on up. Make your way up here. Receive our tithes and offering this morning.